Today's shiur is Masechet Chagiga Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom. Acharayim V'toich. As we learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah indicated various halachas, Chayim V'Kodesh V'Betruma, where we're more stringent regarding Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara by Kodesh versus than by Truma. And the second case that the Mishnah discussed was that the outside and the inside and the handle of a keli are considered separate kelim regarding Tumah, but not to Kodesh. Explains the Gemara. Maya Chirayim V'toich, what is the explanation of this halacha? Says the Gemara Kiritnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, keli shenetamu achore b'mishkan. If the outside of a keli came in contact with tamei liquids. So as Rashi explains, this tumah is not a tumah that could ever be tamei midaraisa. For midaraisa, oichel umashka mitame keli. Midaraisa, a food or a liquid, cannot be mikama a keli, because a keli can only be mikabel tumah from an ava tumah. And these are not avatomas. However, Chazal said that if tamei liquids touch a keli, they become tamei. Gzeira mishumashkin shalzov. As we have said, the secretions that come out of the body of a zov, the liquids that come out of the body of a zov, are indeed tamei. And Chazal now told us that any liquids that come out of the zov's body will adversely affect these kalim as v'gzeira. However, because Chazal wanted us not to make a mistake and think that this is a tumah midaraisa, they told us a chayrif tumeim, that only the outside is tumeh. However, toichnoi, oignoi, it's inside, it's rim. The rim, the Mefarshim explained in those days, was a little wider than the rim on our vessels, and therefore had its own independent use. Oznoi, the yoda, the handles, as Mefarshim explained, either a oznoi is a handle that's shaped like a semicircle, and a yoda is a handle that comes out straight out of the keli, a tahirin. And the Rishonim explained, why did Chazal say this? Because midaraisa, as we explained, this keli is not tamei. Midaraisa, this keli, mashkin, unless they are the secretions of the zov, cannot be mitama a keli. It's a gzeres chazal. Now the din is as follows: tamei truma, tamei kodesh must be burnt. Kodesh or truma that's not tamei, not only must it not be burnt, it should not be burnt. It should be protected. So in order to draw a distinction, that everyone should realize that this tumah is only a tumah derabbanan, Chazal said that only the outside will remain tameh, not the inside, causing one to recognize that this is only a tumah derabbanan and not come to burn it. However, nitma toichai, if its inside contracts tumah, then kulei tameh, then it's entirely tamei. Chazal did not feel that they had to go this far in showing a difference between a tumah derabbanan and a tumah deraisa. It was enough when they said that if the outside becomes tamei, it does not affect the inside, but they did not say vice versa, and if the inside becomes tamei from a mashkin, it will also cause tumah for the outside. There's an interesting machloikis, Rambam and Ravid. As we have been discussing, the Torah tells us that a kli cheres is only metamei miaviroi, from its interior, not migaboi, not from its exterior. However, says the Rambam, this tumah that we just now discussed in our Gemara, this new tumah derabbanon, that mashkin do make a keli tamei from the outside, even apply to a kli cheres. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says, if by tumah deraisa kli cheres only become tamei from the interior, certainly this tumah, which we just finished explaining, is only a tumah drabanon only apply, certainly will only apply, cannot apply to the outside, to the exterior of a Kli Cheres. Rav Ayale Malin explains the Rambam that the Tumah that Chazal gave to this Mashkin is not a din in the Keli that becomes Tameh. Because therefore, if it were to be the same din of Tumah that applies to all Kalim, then why would these Kalim Kli Cheres be different? It's a din in the Mashkin. Chazal initiated a new type of Tumah on this Mashkin that it has the ability to be Matame anything it touches. Makes no difference if it's Kli Shetef that is always can always become Tameh from its exterior, or it's a Kli Cheres that can become Tameh, normally cannot become Tameh from its exterior. The Mishnah, when it discussed the various separate components of a Keli, mentioned a Beis HaTzvita. Asked the Gemara, my Beis HaTzvita, what is a Beis HaTzvita? Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Makayim Shetzoiftai. It's a place by which one hands it to others. The Kano Oimran says, and so it says in Megillas Rus, V'yitzpat loy Kali. He handed her, Boaz handed to Ruth, parched grain. V'yitzpat, he handed it over. Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan has a different explanation of the Beis HaTzvita. Mokim Shenekiya Das Tzoyvin. So as Rashi explains, many people in those times would eat. It was very common that when they ate food in those days, they would eat with a dip. But the same cup that was used for drinking was also used to store the dip. And they would put the dip into the cup. When they finished using it, they would fill it up with beverage to drink. The Nekiya Hadas, the Istanis, who were not comfortable using the same cup for their dip and for their drink, would carve out in their kalim, in their plates, a receptacle for the dip. And that's what the Gemara refers to as the Beis HaTzvita. It's interesting to note that the Tiferes Yisrael says that Mokem Shen Nekiya Hadas doesn't only apply to these people that we just described who had a separate receptacle for the dip and did not use the same cup for drinking and dipping. It even refers to the previous pshat, Mokem Shen Tzoyftai, that it's handed over. Because again, making a handle prevents, also is something that somebody who's an istanis will use. Because if there's a handle, when one passes a plate or a pat from one person to the next, he won't have to stick his fingers into the plate or pat. If there is no handle and he wants to pass it, he'll have to put his fingers into a place where someone's food is, which an istanis will not be comfortable with. Tani Rabbi Kameid Rav Nachman. Call a kalim. By all kalim, there is no difference between the inside and the outside. If one becomes tamei, it affects the other one. Echad kotcha migdash, whether we're referring to items that are being used for kodesh, vechad kotcha gvul, whether we're referring to things that are not used in the base of migdash. Amalei, so Rav Nachman asks Rabbi, kotcha gvul my ninu, what exactly do you mean with kotcha gvul? Do you mean truma? Vatanan, then we learn the Mishnah, and we just explained that portion of the Mishnah. Achrayim v'toychu beis hatzvita, that the outside and the inside and the beis hatzvita latruma are considered separate areas, and one, the tumah of one area doesn't affect the tumah of the other area. So he says, Dilma, perhaps what you mean, when the Braisa says kotcha gvul, it means lechulin shenasu ataras hakodesh. Now that we treat like Kodesh. So he said, Atgarten, you reminded me. Milsad Om Rabba Vavur, Sonny Rabba Vavur taught us, and we learned this in the Gemara on Daf Chof, Aleph, that Ach Aser Mal Shanukan, our Mishnah mentions 11 dinim where Kodesh is more stringent than Truma. Sheish Rishonis, the first 6 dinim, which this din, that the Chrayim V'toycha Beis Tzvita are all considered one area, apply bein l'kodesh and bein l'chul and shenas ataras l'kodesh, and that's what the brisa means with kotcha gvul. Achroinus, the last 5 dinim mentioned in our Mishnah apply to kodesh av loy l'chul and shenas ataras l'kodesh. So when it says kotcha gvul, it means chul and shenas ataras l'kodesh. The next din that the Mishnah discussed, that truma, that kaddish is more stringent than truma. It's a nisus a medrash, nisus a truma. If somebody's carrying, somebody that has a truma medrash may also at the same time carry truma, but avalayas a kaddish. If somebody's carrying something that has on it a tumas medrash, he may not at the same time carry kaddish. Ask the Gemara, Kodesh my Tamaloi, why may he not carry something that has a Tumas Medrash at the same time that he's carrying Kodesh? Answers the Gemara, Meshamaisa Shahaya, because of a specific incident that occurred. Dona Yudam Shmuel, Maisa Bechachachay Mav Chavish Shayayin Kodesh Rimakal Makim. A person was transporting wine which was Kodesh from one place to the next. The Nifskas Ritsua Shal Sandaloi, and the strap of his sandal broke off. The notla v'nicha al piachavus, and he went and he put it on top of the barrel. The notfal avirachavus, and it fell into the barrel, and it was a tumay shoe and a tumay shoelace strap. The nitmes, and it caused tumah to everything inside the barrel. Ba'isusha omru, at that time Chazal made a gzeira hanoisis a medris, someone who carries something which is tumay medris noisis a truma may simultaneously carry truma. But Avalayas a Kodesh, he may not carry at the same time Kodesh. Tosfos asks that if the strap broke, it's no longer a Keli. And if it's no longer a Keli, it no longer gives off Tumma. So why was there a concern? So Tosfos answers that a strap, even after it fell off from the shoe, is still usable. And therefore it retains its status of Tumma. Tosfos also quotes a Yerushalmi that it wasn't the strap that fell into the barrel of Kodesh, and therefore we would have a question, the strap, once it tears, is not a Keli and shouldn't be able to transmit Tumah. Rather, we're referring to the shoe itself, says the Yerushalmi, and certainly the shoe was still a usable shoe, and that's why it gave off Tumah to the contents of the basket to the Kodesh. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Trumanami, the same thing should be by Truma, we should make the same Gzeira. And as the Sikh Yitzchak explains, if Chazal are initiating a Tuma because of a Svara, of a concern that they have thought may happen, so we could understand why it would be a difference between Truma and Kodesh. Kodesh being more chomer, being more stringent than Truma, Chazal made more gzeiros. But if we're learning that the reason for this gzeir was because of Maisa Shahaya, something that actually happened, so just like this story could have happened by Kodesh, it could equally happen by Truma. So if it could happen by Truma, why didn't Chazal make such a gzeir by Truma? Answers the Gemara, Homani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rechananya ben Akavihi. It goes according the Gemara will quote a story where Chazal prohibited certain modes of transportation for the Efer Chatos or the Mei Chatos, and Rav Chananya ben Akavya says that it was only prohibited to take it over the Yardane and in a boat, because that was the exact story that happened. And as the Chazon Ish explains, if Chazal, and it's along the same lines that we just said from this Siach Yitzchak, if Chazal make a gzeira because of a svara, so they can apply the gzeira to wherever they want. But if Chazal make a gzeira not because of a svara, not because of a thing that they came up with, but it's because of a specific incident that caused them to make a gzeira, so then the gzeira is only applicable, according to Chananya ben Akavya, if the circumstances will be identical to the circumstances that caused the gzeira. Mahi, what does the Gemara mean when it says the sheet of Rechnani ben Akavya? The Tanya, we learned in the Brayis, La Yisa Adam Mechatis Veifachatis, a person is not to transport the water in which the Eifachatis is mixed, or the ash of the Chatis, Veyavirim Beyardim Besfina, and transport them across the Yardane in a boat. Nor can he stand on one side of the river and throw them over to the other side of the river. Nor can he float them in a raft across the water. who can't ride atop of his on top of an animal through a water, or not ride on top of his friend going through the water. Elm ken hayiraglov noigus bekarka. The only way one can transport mechatos and eifrchatos is when he's walking with his feet on the ground. Amaviram agabe nesher, walking on top of a bridge ain't a chayshish, because when one walks on top of a bridge, even though the bridge is on top of water, he's not walking on the water, he's walking on the bridge. Echre yarde. Furthermore, this halacha is by the Yarden. V'achachan harus, all other rivers have the same din as the Yarden. That's the sheet of the Tanna Kamma. However, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Oimer, lo yosur el b'Yarden u'b'sfina, it's only strictly on a boat over the Yarden. U'kamaisa shayi, because that's what happened. My maisa shayi, what does that mean? Dom Rav Yehuda b'Rav, maisa v'adam echot. There was a story with a certain individual. He was transporting the mechatas and evachatas b'yardim b'sfina in a boat over the yarde. V'nimtzah, and then it was found that there was a kezayis meis tochav b'kakiyosa shal sfina. A kezayis of a meis was lodged in the floor of the boat. The person not allowed to transport the evachatas and mechatas b'yardim b'sfina only if it was exactly identical. So the Mefarshim use this concept, the Paiskim use this concept for interesting Shiloh. We know that the minig of the Ashkenazim, which is already quoted by the Ramah, is that on Pesach we do not eat kidneys. We don't eat legumes. The reason being, since legumes can be easily ground and look like flour of one of the Chameshis Aminim, which is Chometz, our minig is that we don't eat kidneys. The question that was asked to the Chacham Tzvi was regarding using coffee on Pesach. Given that coffee is a bean and it's ground up, may coffee be used on Pesach? Says the Chacham Tzvi that when Chazal make a gzeira, it's kamaisa shahoyo. It's like it was originally. The gzeira, when the minig came about not to eat kidneys, it only was at certain legumes. Coffee wasn't in use at that time. We don't add to the gzeira in later generations, which is really also the basis why we eat potatoes, one of the staple food items on Pesach. Certainly know that potatoes can be made into a flour. A flour on Pesach, many people use potato starch, which looks very similar to flour. So how do we eat potatoes on Pesach? The same reason, when the minig of not eating kidneys was formulated, there were no potatoes. Potatoes were not really in use yet, so the minig did not apply to that food, and it remained that way even in later generations when potatoes are so much in use. Continues the Gemara in asking, Ibailu, sandal tome, is it only on a sandal tome that Chazal said we can't carry a shoe at the same time we're carrying a barrel of Kodesh? Sandal tar ma, what would be the halacha regarding the sandal tar? So it explains the Chazon Ish, certainly the Gemara's question is not regarding wearing a sandal tar at the same time one is transporting a barrel of Kodesh. The Gemara would never have a havamina and expect us to walk barefoot. The Gemara's question is, did Chazal disallow the carrying even of a tar shoe, lest one come to carry a tamei shoe? Others explain that the Rishash explains that the Gemara's question is not that one should not be allowed to carry a shoe which is completely tar. A shoe which is completely tar, there's no reason to make a gzeira. The Gemara's question is regarding a shoe which is somewhat tamei, going back to something we learned at the end of the last parak, that it's not watched for kodesh, it was only watched for truma. Chavis Psucha, was the gzeira only said by an open barrel, where there is a concern that the tamei item may fall in? Chavis Tuma, where that concern isn't really there, mahu, what will be the halacha? A third question, Ava v'nasu mahu, if somebody did carry it, what is the halacha? Rav Ila Omar, im ava v'nasu tamei, if somebody carried it, he shouldn't have, it's tamei. Rav Zeira Omar, ava v'nasu tahor, it's tahor. So explains the Chazon Ish again in understanding Rav Rav Zeir's position of Ovah V'Nasa Tohar, because he really asks a question. All the dinim of the Mishnah were made only because of Gzeiris. Yet, whatever the reason being, the Gzeir is in place. So why over here, if a Gzeir was made, should it not apply just because the person did it? Answers the Chazon Ish, as we've been explaining in the entire piece of Gemara. If the Gzeir was because of a Svara, the Chazal said Tuma should be applicable in such a situation, so it makes no difference what happened that the person carried and the Tuma did not fall into the barrel. Chazal made a Gzeir. But here the Gzeir wasn't made because of a Svara. Here the Gzeir was made only because of Maisa Shahaya. So if here we successfully carry the shoe without it falling into the barrel, so it's not similar to the Maisa Shahaya, and therefore, perhaps b'dieved, there will not be any Tumah here. The next case that the Mishnah mentioned, the sixth case, was Kelim and the Gemara b'tahara. Kelim that are completed in Tahara have to be toiveled, have to be immersed for Kaidish, but not for Tumah. Ask the Gemara exactly what are the circumstances of this case. The Gemrinu man, who manufactured this keli? Ilayim the Gemrinu Tchover, if a Tchover is the one who completed them, Lamlu Tfila. A Tchover, as we've been learning, is careful about Tum and Tahara. Ela the Gemrinu Amoritz. It must be that the Amoritz was the one that completed it. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that's the Amoritz that did the manufacturing. Nigmarim b'tahara kurisle, could that be called Nigmarim b'tahara? It's an Amoritz, we know Chazal decreed Atame. Amar Rav Bashel, Amar Masna, Amar Shmuel, La'olam the Gemrinu Chavar. Amish is referring to a situation that the Chavar is the one that completed them. But why did Chazal require of a Kodesh they should be toivled? Mishum Tzinura. The Amoritz. We're concerned that some saliva of the Amoritz fell on the keli. Ask the Gemara the Nafal Amos. When did the saliva fall on the keli? Ilay mekamed the ligmarei. If you say that it fell on it before it was completed, halav manahu. If it's not complete, if it's manufacturing, if processing is not complete, it's not yet a keli. And something that's not yet a keli cannot be makabel tuma. So it doesn't make a difference if the saliva of the Amoritz fell on it. El abasa da gamri. But you have to say that the saliva fell after it was completed. Ask the Gemara, but it's the chaver that's making this keli. And Mrs. Arboy, he's certainly careful to make sure that the saliva of the Amoritz does not fall on the keli. Answers the Gemara, la'ayla mekame da gamri. It fell before its processing was complete. However, the Dilma be'idna de gamri, when it was completed, a dying lachahi, the saliva was still moist, and since it was still moist, it gives off tuma, and this is a chash, this is a concern that the chaver manufactured a keli, not being careful while it was being manufactured, because it's not a keli yet, saliva of the Amoritz fell on this keli, and then after the keli was completed and it is susceptible to tumah, that saliva was still moist and it causes tumah to the keli. But given that this is just a chshash rochik, so Chazal only said it this chshash by kodesh, not by tumah. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the only thing Chazal required was tefillah, that this keli be immersed harav shem shloi. As we know, normally when one has to go to the mikveh or has to immerse a keli in the mikveh, tefillah is not enough. We have to wait for Harav Shemesh, we have to wait for nightfall. Here, nightfall is not required. All that's required is tefillah. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have to say a word of introduction. We know that if somebody becomes a Tamei Meis, as we've been learning, he's required to have Hazaz Shlishi V'Shvi. On the third day, and the seventh day in his tahara process, he has to be sprinkled with the dam, with the ash, with a mixture of ash and water of the parah aduma. There was a very fundamental machloikis between the tzedokim and the perushim regarding what type of person may be used, what koyin could do the avoid of the parah aduma. The Tzaddikim say that since the pasuk says v'asaf ish tahor, the person doing the avoda of the parah aduma has to be tahor. Say the Tzaddikim that a person who is even a tefil yoyim, he was tamei, went to the mikveh, cannot do the avoda of the parah aduma. It only could be a person that if he was tamei had tefillah and hair of shemesh. The Purushim, we disagreed with what they said, because the pasuk says v'hizo hator ala tamei, and as the Purushim said, the word tahor is superfluous, because we know that all the avoida of the parah aduma has to be done by people who are tahor, as the pasuk says v'lokach ezo v'tovo b'mayim ish tahor. Why does the Torah again use the words v'hizo hator ala tamei? To teach us that the Torah is comparing the Tahor to the Tameh. And this Tahor person is not necessarily completely Tahor. Who is he? It's a Tefil Yoyim, a person who went to the mikveh and did not have hair of Shemesh. So today, as the Gemara will explain, to show that we don't agree with the Tzedakim, Chazal specifically used people who were Tefil Yoyim to do the avoidah with the Parah Aduma. And as we will learn, because Chazal had this leniency, they put in place many chumris by the Parah Aduma, not to chas v'sham become too lenient with the treating of the Parah Aduma. Says the Pnei Yeshua that even the Tzedakim, the Pnei Yeshua makes a number of observations. One observation he makes is that even Tzedakim agree that it's only after the Sreifas HaPara, only from then on did Tzedakim say that the people who work with the Parah Aduma have to be people who had hair of Shemesh. And moreover, points out the Pnei Yeshua, it must be that according to Tzedakim, there were many Kohanim involved in the avoid of a Parah Aduma. Because we know one of the things about the Parah Aduma, the Torah says, is that it's Metamei Tahirim. So any person who came in contact with the Mechatis became Tamei. And according to Tzedakim, just going to the mikveh would not be enough. They would require hair of Shemesh. So according to the Tzedakim, points out the Pnei Yeshua, there were many Kohanim involved in the processing of the Parah Aduma. Says the Gemara, Masnisan, our Mishnah, which we just explained, holds that this person that works with a keli only requires tefillah, doesn't require hair of shemesh, the like Rebbe Lezer, will not be consistent with Rebbe Lezer's position. The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Parah, Sheferah Shechat Chalchatas, if somebody made a tube out of reed, put the chatas ash into it, Sheferah Shechat Chalchatas, Rebbe Lezer Oimer Yitl Mayad, what we should do is be toivel it, and that way it'll be showed, and then use it. And that's why we will show to the Tzedakim that we don't agree with them. All we did was just do tefillah, and right away we're using it. And Rabbi Shu Oimer Yitma V'Akach Yitma, we have to first make it Tameh, afterwards be toivel it, and then use it to show to the Tzedakim that Hair of Shemesh is not required. Vavinaba. And on understanding this Mishnah, we try to understand the Chot Chaman. If who exactly formed this tube? Who cut this reed to make it into a tube? Ilem dechot chaver. If we'll say that a chaver cut it, lamali tefila. Why is tefila required? Vel dechot chamaritz. If we'll say that amaritz is the one that made it into a tube, behol lemer of Yeshua yitma v'yitmal. Does Yeshua at this point require that we should be metamit? It's already certainly tamei because the amaritz formed it. Ha tamei v'koy. It's referring to a situation that the chaver was the one that cut it. And the concern is, as we explained our Mishnah, Bishum Tsunur Damaritz. Perhaps as the chaver was preparing it, some saliva of Amaritz, which we said is Tamei, fell on this tube. So the question is the Nafal Amos. When did the saliva fall on the tube? If it fell before he cut it, what is it required tefillah? Halav manuhu. Until it's completely formed, it's not a keli. And as we explained, something that's not a keli is not mekabel tumah. Vela basa dechatcha. If, are we concerned that the saliva fell after it was cut? Mrs. Arba. At that point, the chaver is certainly careful that no saliva of Amam Oritz should fall on it. So it must be La'ayla mikamid al-chadcha. It must be that it fell before it was formed. And the concern, as we explained in our Mishnah, is Dilma be'ida d'chadcha, while he cut it, saliva fell on it, and that saliva is a dayan lachahi, is still moist after it was formed into a keli, and it's susceptible to tuma, and that's why tefillah is required. But what do we see here? That according to Rebbe Lezer, just this keli is tamei, and by toiveling it and using it without herif shemesh, it's enough. According to our Mishnah, Herif Shemesh is never required. So how will we accomplish Kedei Lahoitzi Meliban Shal Tzadokim this way? Ask the Mefarshim. Even if we'll explain, no matter how we'll explain, this Tumah is only a Tumah Midrabbanan. It's a Tumah that we say that Meratzim Amatamei. Is that a Tumah that the Tzadokim subscribe to? Answer the Rishonim, that even though the Tzadokim themselves certainly do not subscribe to this Tumah, but they know that we hold of this Tumah, and by us having this Tumah in place and not waiting for Herif Shemesh, if Herif Shemesh is normally required, that will be enough Kedei Lahoitzi Meliban Shel Tzadokim. Explains the Gemara Bishlam Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Hanadikah Heker Tzadokim. We can understand how is showing something tzadikim. The Tanan, just like we learned in the Mishnah, Metamin Hayu Akayin as a surface of Parah, they would make the Kayin who burnt the Parah Tamei, and then immerse him in the mikveh, not wait for Herif Shemesh, Lahoitzi Meliban Shel Tzadokim, to show the Tzadokim we don't agree with them, Shoyoimrim, because they said, as we explained earlier, B'meruve Shemesh Haysonasis, that all the Avoida of the Paraduma has to be done with a person, with a kind who's tar, and not only must he be tar, he also must be a person that herif shemesh. El Rebbe Lezer, but according to Rebbe Lezer, I am b'shlom alma bein in herif shemesh, that normally we need herif shemesh, and here we're not waiting for herif shemesh. That's how we show a heker to the tzadikim. Eli amrit. But if we'll say that b'alma loy bein herif shemesh, we never require herif shemesh by this situation, by this concern that saliva of the Amoritz might have fell on the keli while it was being processed and is still moist after it was completed. And we'll say in such a situation, Herif Shemesh is not required. So how are we making heket to tzadikim in this case just by toiveling it and using it? My hakayir l'tzadikim ikka. What's the heket for the tzadikim? It must be, unlike what we just explained to our Mishnah, Rebbe Lezer must hold that Herif Shemesh is normally required for this concern, and here Chazal didn't require Herif Shemesh Kedei Lahoitzi Meliban Shel Tzadokim. Amar Rav, so Rav says that our Mishnah could even agree with Rebbe Lezer. Normally Rebbe Lezer will agree, as we explained our Mishnah, that Herif Shemesh is not required. However, Chazal treated this tube, ketame sheretz, the equivalent of something that was contaminated, a sheretz contaminated object, that there halacha certainly is that Herif Shemesh is required, and here, by not requiring Herif Shemesh, we accomplish kedei lahoitzi meliban shel tzadokim. El me'ato, if that's the tumah status that we're giving to it, loyta tamei adam, it shouldn't be able to make a person tamei, because something that is only tamei because it came in contact with a sheretz doesn't have the ability to make a person tamei. And yet, alo matanya, what does the braisa say? Choytcho matvila, the person that processes it and the person that takes it to the mikveh ton tvila. It's not something that transmits tumah to a person, because as the Rishonim explained, something that was touched by a sheretz doesn't transmit tumah to a person. Says the Gemara, what Chazal said is a sukkah tameh meis. It gave it the status that, like something that became tameh from a meis. that's an ava tuma that does transmit tuma to a person. Ask the Gemara, if that's the status Chazal gave to this tub, so then the person who processes and uses this, who cuts this keli, or the person who immerses the keli, should require a spritzing of the mechatis on the third and seventh day, like anyone who's a tummy mace. Allah matanya, but we just quoted a brayt that says that all that's required is choytcho makbila ton tefila. All that requires is just tefila. Tefila in hazar shlishi v'shviloi. But if we're giving it that status, like it was something that was touched by a tamei meis, that hazar shlishi v'shvi should be required. Answers the Gemara, elasok a tamei meis b'shvi shloi. It's treated like a tamei meis who's on the seventh day after he already had hazar. Sprinkling on the third day, shvi, sprinkling on the seventh day, but he still, after that second sprinkling on the seventh day, requires tvila and requires harif shemesh. And here Chazal said that this kohen who's working with this tube has that status, and normally he would require tvila and then afterwards harif shemesh. Chazal said that all he will require is tefillah and will not require Harav Shemesh. Asked the Gemara, but how could Chazal fabricate a new type of tumah? V'tanya, we learned in the Brayta, Ma'olam loy chitshu davar parah. Chazal never created some new form of tumah by parah aduma. And here we're saying that Chazal said that whoever works with this Tub is considered like he's somebody on the seventh day of a Tumas Mess after the second Hazor. Omer Abayas, Abayas says what Chazal meant when the Brisa said, Ma'olim lo chitshu davar b'parah, what they meant to say was, Shloi omru karda matama moishiv. They said that a shovel is not mekabel Tumas moishiv. We know that whatever the Zov sits on gets a Tumas moishiv. A special tumma. Kritanya, vayoshev ala keli. If a zov sits on a utensil, it gives that utensil a tumas moishev, actually a very high level tumma, becomes an avatumma. Yochel, one would think that if kofasaw, if somebody turned over, a zov turned over a basket, vayoshev ala, or tarkiv, a different type of a container, vayoshev ala yotame, it should have a tumas moishev. Tamaloymer, vayoshev ala keli, al sheyeshiva lov yitma mishi yochel yeshiva, only something which is designated for sitting can contract a tumas moishiv. Yotzeze, these vessels that we just identified, if somebody were to sit in a barrel, someone else could tell them, please excuse me, get up, this barrel wasn't made for sitting, it was made for holding. Similarly, a shovel is not made for sitting. So what Chazal meant, that Ma'olam Lechitshu Dava B'Paro, it means to say that if something is not susceptible to Tumah at all, it doesn't have that type of Tumah relevant to it, so by Paro Chazal did not create a new type of Tumah. However, a person certainly is susceptible and is possible to have a case that a person is on the seventh day of his Tumas Mess after the Hazor. That's not a new type of tumah. It's just saying that that type of tumah, that status of tumah, we're applying to this kohen. That's not called fabricating a new tumah and is possible to be done for parah aduma. And that's exactly what Chazal said, that every person who works with the parah aduma is considered like a tumah mace on the seventh day that should require tefillah and harif shemesh. But today, lahaytzi miliban shel tzedakim, that say that harif shemesh is required, we specifically don't wait for harif shemesh. Today, lahaytzi miliban shel tzedakim. And the Pais can point out that this concept of today, lahaytzi miliban shel tzedakim, are found in other areas in halacha. The halacha is, the Torah says, lo suvaru eish b'chol mesh v'seichem b'yoyim hashabbos. And the Tzedakim translated that pasuk literally. There was not allowed to be any fire in one's home on Shabbos. And that's why they never ate hot food on Shabbos, because there was no way of keeping the food hot. We know that Rama says, because of this mitzvah lahatmin l'shabbos, there's a mitzvah, and this is the basis for the minhag to eat cholent on Shabbos, kidei sheyochel chamin b'shabbos, in order that one should eat hot food on Shabbos, to eat, what do you call it, to kizeh mikovet v'oynik Shabbos, says the Rama, v'kom misha ein amamim b'divrei chachamim. Somebody doesn't believe in what Chazal say. That when they explain, when the Pasuk says, it only means that we're not allowed to put on a fire, but we're certainly allowed to have a fire that was there from before Shabbos. And he disallows eating hot food on Shabbos. We're concerned that he may be agreeing with the Tzedakim. And that is also the basis for the minig in many shuls, that they say, B'memed Likim, Friday night, by davening. Again, for the same point, to show that b'memed likim, b'me'emed likim, what do we put on a fire, what do we not put on a fire, to show that we hold that a candle, a fire, may be lit in our homes on Shabbos. And it's interesting that I saw that in the Geniza, they found that a bracha used to be said before they said b'memed likim. They used to say, Baruch ato Hashem al kinu melech ha'olam, asher bracha b'chachomim v'tamideyem, v'noslam tor ma'asinai, aydei Moshe Rabbeinu, v'tziva isom, likra b'toyra b'mishnah b'talmud b'alocha, liknois chai yishnei ha'olamim, ובוכה במשה רבנו מכל הנביאים ואחרי בוכה וישוע תלמידיו ושיבם זקנים ונביאים וחכמים ותלמידיהם. החזל gave us Torah, Hashem gave us Chazal, gave us the Rabbonim, v'tziva isom b'shmir Shabbos v'adlokas ner Shabbos, and they told us how, what is considered Shmir Shabbos and was not considered Shmir Shabbos, and we follow their explanation and their definition of Shmir Shabbos.